Welcome to Mayfield Baptist Church. We are very excited to have you with us here. We do encourage you to follow us on our social media, which you can access through our website at mayfieldbaptist.com. Please feel free to like and subscribe to this podcast to keep you up to date with our latest messages. We do hope you enjoy this recent message from MBC, that it may help you connect to God, grow in your faith, and serve in your own context.
Today's message is a bit more engaging than normal, if you haven't realized that already. That's because we have everyone in the service together. We have like 7-year-olds and 7-year-olds, 9-year-olds and 90-year-olds. We're all in together. And my hope is that this message today will speak to you no matter where you're at, no matter what age. Because you know what? The resurrection is good news, regardless of your age. And Jesus loves everybody. And so let's unpack this message today. And I've actually, apart from being a pastor and also working in some other areas, some things that I do in my spare time is I'm a watercolor artist. I love to paint. But one of the challenges of being a watercolor artist, particularly in a church that loves art, is it's hard to share that with people because you can't really paint a watercolor painting standing up. If you do, all the water just slides off the page. And so one thing I've done to help me understand Easter this year is I've done a bit of a painting to help me reflect on the meaning of the resurrection. And so as I go on today, what I'd like to is talk about some of the different elements of the Easter story and the resurrection by looking at the different elements. And each of the, there's 6 eggs here, they're remaining, and each egg represents an element of the painting that will be shown at the end of the service to help us reflect on the resurrection. And so before I jump into this message further, I just want to pray. Please join me in prayer. Father God, I thank you for your amazing goodness, and your death is not the end of the story. Lord, I pray that as I bring this message today, you would hide me and you would be glorified. You would help us to see afresh again the difference the resurrection makes in our lives. Spirit, move amongst us. Work powerfully in our lives and help us to encounter Christ again today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this egg we've looked at with the spices is actually the first element of the painting that I've done. And it is central to the Easter Sunday story because we had women who were mourning, were in grief, and were going to Jesus' tomb to find his body, to cover that in spices in order to create a fragrant smell. A dead body was starting to decay. It's quite horrible, quite smelly, but also it's a way of honoring the person that had died in those days as well. And so this is the context of the picture we'll see a bit later on. We have women going to the tomb. Now, the second element in the painting is, of course, a cross. And so these women are coming out of a very traumatic situation. Many of you here may have actually experienced some level of trauma before. And I think to understand the Easter Sunday message, you need to see it from the context of a people group, a group of friends who had experienced an incredibly traumatic event. When you read the Gospels, it's quite clear that they didn't expect that the story was going to go like this. It wasn't how they thought it was going to end. It wasn't how they thought that Jesus would become king to then die. And so there's this incredible tension, there's incredible trauma around the Easter story. And these women are going to the tomb, probably experiencing complex grief, trauma. If you've ever experienced trauma before, it's like you can't stop thinking about it. No matter where you look, no matter what you think about it, it keeps coming back to your mind again and again because your mind is trying to make sense of the incredibly horrible thing that's just happened, but you can't make sense of it. And so these women are probably moving through this tension. And in the picture you'll see that they're looking at the stone, and they can see the picture of Jesus being crucified, and it's almost been reenacted in their mind again and again. The third element of the picture is of darkness. And it would have been an incredibly difficult time, an incredibly dark moment, both in these women's lives, but also in history as well. There are different accounts of Jesus' crucifixion, but if we go to Matthew 27, Matthew says this, "From noon until three in the afternoon, darkness came over the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried when he was on the cross in a loud voice, Eli, 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 lama sekabari, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so there's this both this physical darkness, but also a spiritual darkness as well. And as I was lying in bed last night, I had this thought. I never really considered it before, but we have the Trinity, the eternal relational Trinity have always been together, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But in that moment, for the first time in history and the only time, there was a fracturing, I don't even know, maybe a separation between the Son, who felt forsaken, and the Spirit and the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? Imagine the darkness and the despair of that moment. And the land almost groaned as its creator, the Prince of Peace, died. Moving on to another egg here, another element of the painting. So we have the stone, of course, a crucial element in the resurrection story. And these women, they came and they expected to be able to, I suppose, roll the stone away themselves to be able to access the tomb, to put spices on the body, to mourn, to process, to sit with Jesus. But when they got there, the stone was already rolled away. And the scriptures tell us that a being of like an angel of white lightning was there already. And essentially he's saying to them, why are you looking for the living? For the dead amongst the living. Well, why? Jesus has risen. He's not here anymore. Which leads us to our next egg. A question mark. You know, as I think through the Easter stories and the different narratives in the Bible, there's a lot of questions going on there. And you get a sense of a people, a group of friends who are struggling to understand the events that have just happened to them, working out, where is God in this? This is not how we expected this story to end. And so there's a lot of, I imagine, a lot of questioning, a lot of pondering. And particularly after Jesus died, but also during Jesus' crucifixion, as you read the scriptures, there are a lot of really fascinating interactions that Jesus, through what he says or what he does on the cross, that would have made people really think about what is actually going on here. What's the deeper meaning of these events? And so I'd like to invite Bella up to bring us our second Bible reading today. And as we go through this reading, she's been looking at moments of question marks, of as Jesus' followers would have looked back and gone, what did that mean? Why did Jesus say that? Why did Jesus do this? Thank you, Bella.
Luke 23:32-43. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on the left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence. What are we? We are punished justly for what we are getting, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Thank you. Incredible passage of scripture. And some of the things that stood out to me there is that literally, we see the best and the worst of humanity in the cross. Now, we see Jesus being crucified, being tortured, yet as he is being tortured, he's literally saying to them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Incredible display of a forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I find it hard to forgive sometimes, even when someone asks me to do it. Yet Jesus, before they asked, is forgiving them as they are crucifying him, as they are mocking him, as they are ridiculing him. He's literally pouring out his forgiveness. Such grace, such incredible display of God's love to a humanity that is just full of evil. And we see here this, the worst of humanity, the crowd mentality. They're crucifying an innocent man. Isn't that enough? And they go on then to mock him and ridicule him. Rather than having compassion on a man who's dying, essentially they ridicule him. And these same tensions, these same reactions to Jesus then comes through in these two thieves on the cross, one next to him, right and the left. And we see one thief buying into this mob mentality, ridiculing Jesus, giving him a hard time while he's dying, while Jesus is dying. But the other criminal sees something different, responds in a different way with a much more empathy, much more compassion towards Jesus. And there's this interaction between Jesus and this thief that he's probably never met before. And that Jesus and the thief ask him to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. And Jesus says these words, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Incredible. Incredible interactions. And then disciples would have seen this. They would have been witnessing these conversations as they watched Jesus die. And after Jesus had died, they would have been pondering, what did that mean? What did Jesus mean by "it is finished"? Why did he say that? And so there would have been this processing, this understanding of the crucifixion story. And so in this picture you'll see soon, there's one of the disciples is looking at Jesus and he's processing, he's pondering, he's working out, how does this all fit together? The other disciples are just full of grief and full of sadness, as you would be if you watched one of your friends die before your eyes. You know, I'm looking forward to meeting that thief on the cross who died in heaven. And Pastor Alistair Begg tells an incredible story about this. I want to share it with you today. You know, we can imagine what that would be like, that thief who got to heaven, got to paradise just after he died. You know, so many things changed when Jesus died. And that thief rocks up at the gates of heaven and the angel's there. And the angel's sort of saying, "Well, who are you? And why should you come into heaven?" And the thief would be like, "I don't know. I was literally dying, and here I am. I don't know why I'm here." The angel would be like, "This is very unusual. I need to call my supervisor. I'm sorry. This is we just don't do this here." And so the supervisor angel comes on, big wings, big muscles. Look at this guy, this thief on the cross who's died. And he's like, "Excuse me, sir. We can't let anyone into here. What's going on? Why are you here?" And the thief is like, I don't know what happened. Well, the angel says, "Well, let me ask you a few questions. Okay, well, number one, did you keep the Ten Commandments?" The thief's like, well, no, I'm a criminal. I was a criminal. I was crucified as a criminal. I didn't. I wasn't really a good person." Angel's shaking his head. It's not looking good. Second question, "Well, look, were you one of those, you know, 12 disciples? We know Jesus is doing something new there. Were you one of those special people, the 12 disciples?" And it's like, "I don't even know what you're talking about. Who are these 12 disciples?" The angel's not just looking, it's getting even worse. The angel's shaking his head and saying, "Look, well tell me, were you a person of prayer? Did you offer sacrifices?" And the guy's like, "Not really. I don't know. He's getting a bit upset about all this questioning. He's just trying to get into heaven. And the angel's also getting pretty uptight. He says, "Finally, just tell me, by what basis are you here? And should we let you into heaven?" And the guy, in a final exasperation, says, "All I know is the man on the middle cross told me that I could come. The man on the middle cross told me I could come." You know, thief's entry to paradise was not based on what he did, but on what Jesus had done. Amen? It was not based on him keeping the Ten Commandments, not based on him being a person of prayer, not even based on him being a special one of his disciples. It was purely in that moment that he asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And Jesus replied, "Today I tell you, assuredly you will be with me in paradise." That is the gospel right there. That is the gospel. All Jesus' grace, and none of ourselves. That thief was the first of many people to respond to the invitation to trust in Jesus as their personal Savior. And that changed everything. It changed everything. And so back to this the message of Jesus in this picture, you know, Jesus' disciples would have seen those interactions and wondered what's really going on here. What's the deeper story? What's happening at the cross? Which brings us to the last egg. Which is a white egg and it's empty. There's nothing inside it. Because it reminds us that the tomb was empty. And it reminds us that an angel shining like lightning, like white, which represents the purity and the forgiveness that Jesus brought, was there at the tomb. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, or right with God. And those moment of the resurrection, everything changed. Everything changed. And that thief is the first man to experience this promise. But this promise extends through history and is offered to anyone who would receive him, to all that believe in his name, that we might be called children of God. And the resurrection teaches us some very important things. It teaches us that Jesus was who he said he was. It validates his claim. It proves he was innocent. And it's like God has accepted the payment for sin, and that's a validation. Our sins are forgiven. All those things that we've done in the past have been addressed and dealt with at the cross. And the resurrection shows that that payment has been made in full and that we can receive new life in Christ. And number three, the victorious kingdom of God is here. And it can be experienced today. That after we receive Christ, we have the promise that we receive a new heart. That as we receive a new heart, that the message of the gospel will transform our mind, change how we think, change how we see the world, change how we treat people. And in time, it will also bring a new body as we join that thief in paradise with our Savior. A new heart, a new mind, a new body through one Savior. This is the message of Easter. This is the reality of the resurrection. It can be experienced in our hearts today. It's not just stuck and frozen in time. And this is a reality for us to embrace today, that we might be like that thief. We might receive Christ ourselves. We might be like those women who had an understanding, a revelation of the difference that the cross of Christ made to them, that we might be part of this story as well. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And I hope, I pray that you will, that you do. And so, friends, happy Easter. I'd like to leave you with a final gift, a final message, to look at this picture, look at this painting, and I pray that God's Spirit would speak to you through it and help deepen your appreciation and the wonder of the cross and the resurrection. God bless.